Daniel Nugent Bowman from The Athletic. What a game last night. Connor McDavid was fire. Leon Draisaitl scores a goal for the ages. It has to be fun for Edmonton Oilers fans right now because everybody's firing on all pistons, right, Daniel?
You like that fire term, eh? You're so hip.
Fire.
You're way hipper than I am.
No, I'm not.
I don't think my game was ever in doubt. I mean, from the moment I put in my coffee, like the moment Hyman scored, but even that chance that he had when he hit the post kind of from a sharp angle, you could kind of tell that the Oilers were bringing it last night. So, yeah, the Kings made it a little bit interesting in the second period and I guess a little in the third as well, but I never thought that game was remotely in question for the Oilers. It's a welcome change for them after, you know, so many failed game ones. I mean, 7 in a row over 7 years. Of course, we weren't in the playoffs every year of those 7, but it was long overdue to get a series off on the right note. And if they can continue playing this well and make quick work of the Kings, and then obviously that's getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, that could bode really well for a team that aspires to do some good things here this spring.
Daniel, the numbers really favored the Oilers in a lot of different places. The Daniel line was 1-goal, 4-3 up against the McDavid line. That was thought to be maybe something we'd see. Certainly the Doughty pairing had trouble with the McDavid line at 5-on-5. And I guess maybe even the bigger problem is the Kings were just parading to the penalty box, and that's never a good idea against this team.
No, even though the Kings have a much better penalty kill than they have in the past and they have over the last couple of series, heading into the last couple of series, rather. And in those series, I mean, the Oilers torched them on the power play last year. The Kings were the second-best team on the PK this year. Didn't look like it in Game 1. I mean, the Oilers had their way with them going 3-for-4. And with McDavid saying that they have a few more tricks up their sleeve, that doesn't sound too good for Los Angeles. So, yeah, if you're going to struggle at 5-on-5 the way they did, the way Danault and his line mates did when he's typically a staunch defensive player, and Doughty was pretty good with Mikey Anderson, not to mention Gavrikov and Roy, you know, they had their whole top four wasn't very good last night on defense. That's a lot of issues, a lot of things for them to clean up, and a lot of things that the Oilers can hopefully, for their sake, or if they're thinking about it, take that toward Game 2, because they certainly controlled Game 1, basically doing everything that they wanted to accomplish.
Daniel, NHL player safety have reviewed the Trevor Moore low blow against Vincent Desharnais. They decided there's no discipline coming for that. It looked very dangerous, and obviously Desharnais was you know, it took him a minute to rejoin the game. Your thoughts on that, and also there was a slash on Hyman. My feeling is the Kings are kind of like that. They are an edgy team, and you are gonna, if you beat them, and even if you don't, you're gonna pay a physical price.
Right. I mean, I didn't look at either too closely beyond what happened in the moment. Especially, you know, the Desharnais one by Moore looks a little cheap to me. It looks a little bit low, but something that, you know, I think would probably be worthy of a fine or something to that degree. Yeah, I don't know if it was suspension worthy, especially with, given no injury and how they seem to kind of have the, you know, the max, you know, the multiplier rather, excuse me, for playoff games over regular season games. So, yeah, I mean, but to your point, Alec, the Kings are like that. And I think any Oilers fan and, certainly, Leon Draisaitl knows even what happened in Game 6 a couple of years ago, where Mikey Anderson pulled him down gave him a high ankle sprain, and that really limited his mobility. I was going to say limited him, but I, you know, with the way he performed in that playoffs, I'm not sure it really did. But yeah, I think the things that you're playing are like that. You know, they have a lot of players that are pretty feisty. You know, there's a guy like Pierre Luc Dubois who took a couple of bad penalties. We'll see how him being able to walk the line and maybe with a different officiating crew can get a couple of extra shots in. But if the standard is going to be upheld the way it was in game one, The Kings had better watch themselves because, as we talked about earlier, the Oilers getting on the power play too often does not bode well for them.
No, it was such a, in many ways, an historic night. You know, Connor McDavid, 5 assists. I know in your piece you wrote, that's the most since Jeff Courtnell in 1988. I don't even know if you were born in 1988, but that he was a hell of a player, but that is an enormous accomplishment.
98, so I hope I didn't have that wrong, but it's 25 years or 26 years. I was born in 98. I was born in 88, too. I'll date myself. I was born in 87, so I don't remember anything from 88, but anytime you can do something that hasn't been done in a quarter century, that's pretty good. You know what? We didn't talk about it too much. We did talk to him after the game, but Evan Bouchard was almost right there too. So you had one guy getting 5 assists, one guy getting 4. Obviously, the power play had a big factor in that with them getting the 3 power play goals, and those 2 touched the puck a lot, along with Leon Draisaitl. To have 2 guys with, you know, combining for 9 assists. And you talk about Zach Hyman with a hat trick and a helper himself. The power play working well, and obviously, as we talked about, the top line doing very well as well, really getting on Deneau's line and the top, specifically the top pair of Anderson and Doughty for the Kings. So, I was talking to Corey Perry in the morning yesterday, and it's kind of like, well, if the depth guys get going too, the Oilers could be a pretty well-oiled machine, if I should say so myself. So it's a group that I think is primed and ready to win. And if they can get through this series quickly, I really like the prospects for a long playoff run here.
Well, and with Thatcher Demko out for the next game in Vancouver, and they don't know if he's back for the series, that's obviously could have some impact as well. Daniel Nugent-Bowman, our guest from The Athletic on Sports 1440, has been covering the Oilers season and now postseason like a blanket, doing a terrific job. I want to ask you this because it's interesting news. I did read your tweets, so we don't know specifically, but the Bakersfield Condors start their playoff series against Ontario Reign in Ontario, California tomorrow. Philip Broberg has been recalled by the Oilers, and that's several pieces of information that are interesting and leads one to believe, if their spider senses are working, that maybe there's a need here for Philip Broberg.
I mean, I don't know. I've asked around. I haven't had a clear answer, naturally, and that makes a lot of sense given that it's the playoffs, and maybe somebody will get that answer before I do. But they sent Philip Broberg down on the Oilers' last game was Thursday. I believe they sent him down on Friday, if I have that correct, because he did play Saturday in Bakersfield. So, you're right. I mean, Bakersfield is supposed to start a best-of-3 series tonight. And unless they have a direct flight going to Bakersfield that I don't know about, or Darryl Cape wants to get his plane down there, I don't think Philip Broberg is playing this game. He just practiced here today. So does that mean he's going to be in the lineup here for Edmonton shortly? Again, I don't think so, because all those left-shot D are the Oilers as a team did very well in game 1, and all those guys practiced today. So, you would think, maybe somebody has a nick or something that they're concerned about, but there was some little bit of talk last night if maybe they could get him on a plane this morning and get him to Bakersfield. That obviously did not happen. But the thing here is that Philip Broberg is the next man up on the left side. They want to keep Trey Stetcher as much as they can on the right side in case of injury, and Philip Broberg's that next guy on the left side. So maybe there was a change of heart, and if somebody becomes ill in the morning or somebody gets hurt in practice, Philip Broberg's already here, and they don't have to bring him up. Maybe that's what it's for. I don't expect him to be in the lineup tomorrow, barring something unforeseen like an illness or a sudden injury or something like that. I think it's more of a precautionary thing he's up here, but it does take him away from playoff action, from the Condors. But when you have a team like the Oilers that are, expected to go far and they're very much hoping to win the Stanley Cup, I'm sorry, but the AHL playoff run is secondary to that. So if that means they got to keep Broberg here, then that's what's best for them, then they should be doing that.
Daniel, final question. I love the clarity that you write with, and I love this two-sentence area of your piece about Oilers Game 1 win against the Kings You say quibble over goalie Stuart Skinner's stats all you want. He allowed 4 goals on 37 shots. Really, though, it's hard to find fault on any of them. I agree completely. In fact, I will say that 2 in-off skates and then one where the Sherwood just stopped working, I thought he was really good. And you know, not that anybody's complaining specifically, but those fluky goals, I don't want them to obscure what was a pretty solid effort. Fair?
Yeah, you look at his stat line, you say 4 goals on 37 shots, really? But again, I don't think you really fault him on any of those goals. I mean, 2 of them go off a guy's feet when you're not expecting that. And I mean, the one was clearly, CC has a fucking complete control, his stick blows up. Now, should he put the puck in the middle of the slot? Maybe that's another debate. Maybe you want to shuffle that into the corner. But anyway, it created a quick 2-on-1, and then, you know, it's going to happen with 1:11 left. Maybe the one you like to see him get is the Anderson one from distance, but he did not see it. He was through a screen. I guess you know, if you're criticizing, you want to see him fight through that a little bit more, maybe, perhaps. I don't know. But I don't think if you're an Oilers fan, if you're somebody with the team, and this team, a lot of it has to, you know, goaltending, you know, the primary criticism of a team that, you know, it could be their undoing. I don't think you look at Stewart's performance and say, we're in trouble here. I think you think of it as, okay, that was a pretty good start. He's got lots to build on. Could he have been better? Sure. But lots to build on and nothing wrong at all with the way he played in game one.
I lied. This is the final question. The usage of the McLeod line with Kane and Perry, I found interesting because they were very physical and they were working hard in the offensive zone. And I like that line, and they're using it kind of as a ramrod. We had a report, actually Kane, a quote from Kane talking about sports hernia, and I, you know, one got the feeling that you know, maybe he would or wouldn't play. He was on the fourth line at practice. That line really showed up, and I thought they were effective.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it was kind of weird, difficult to find the right mix for them. You saw a lot when they got their D zone starts, especially the faceoff was on the right side. Sam Carrick would take that also happened even when McDavid was on the ice, and they would take Hyman off too. So McLeod, you know, lost some minutes there. Of course, he finally kills, so you know, he probably got a little bit back at some point. Yeah, I mean, Evander Kane is definitely an X factor for this team when you look at how well he performed in the playoffs a couple of years ago. Now, obviously, he's been dealing with a lot of injuries, and in the sports hernia one that is obviously the most pressing and the one that he said he's been dealing with all year and certainly kept him up the last week of the year. So that's, I think it's really prevented him from being more of a contributor, being regular in the top six. But when you combine Kane with Perry, you know, there's a lot of playoff games there. There's, especially with Perry, there's a lot of you know, physicality and kind of greasy play, as I like to describe Perry. But I think Kane can certainly bring that too, with the cloud speed. And if we happen to need to throw Dylan Holloway in there, he's got some of that too. So I think there's a lot of elements to that third line, and specifically parts of the bottom six. I mean, the fourth line's a little bit of a mixed bag right now, but I think they're as close to being, you know, the best, having the best depth and the most complete depth that they've ever had here, certainly in the Ken Holland / Connor McDavid era. So, again, I think this all just bodes very well for what could be in store here.
Daniel, thanks for this. Appreciate it.